In this epistle, 2 Corinthians, St. Paul is writing to Corinth in an urgent plea to be reconciled to them. When Paul left Corinth, Corinth left Paul. Attracted by outsiders and their claims to be eminent apostles and super apostles, suddenly Paul's teachings aren't measuring up to the others. The super apostles are claiming to be better than Paul, alleging that he didn't measure up. They seek to prove Paul as an imposter, charging that he is indecisive, cowardly, cruel, weak, unattractive, no more than walking death. According to them, Paul has no letters of recommendation, no teaching credential, no special revelatory experiences, no miraculous powers, and frankly, little knowledge. Yet St. Paul in today's text boastfully asserts his authority over Corinth. According to the super apostles, Paul was a horrible administrator, lacking the wisdom necessary to be a leader. Maybe Paul is crazy. Paul's not a good preacher. And he probably tricked them in financial matters, as he's always begging for money. He might even be an embezzler. So what do the super apostles do? They point to their own letters of recommendation, their Jewish, Greek, and Christian credentials, their resumes of success, backed up by their public acclaim, the public acclaim of non-Christians, and their own claims to personal greatness. In their preaching, they elevate themselves and present a different gospel from Paul's. They depend on speaking skills to influence their audience with unorthodox ideas. They teach that Christians must have exalted spiritual experiences and lead successful, painless lives, and should not be concerned about purity and holiness. Some things never change. How is Paul supposed to respond to these super apostles in this epistle? Paul perceives all of this false teaching is vain and earthly show, having nothing to do with God, the gospel, or the kingdom. And he reveals these men as agents of Satan. So you, people in the pew, you men want to be pastors, an evangelist, part of the fellowship, a Saint Paul, an under-shepherd to Christ, the Good Shepherd. If this is what you truly want to do, then the words of today's lesson are for you. Yes, you desire a noble thing and are preparing for a noble call. Many of you have dreamed of being pastors for years. For others, this life-changing experience is something that happened very quickly. The admissions office, where I'm charged, deals with hundreds of inquiries a year. Phone calls, emails, are received daily as men search to find vocation in their lives. Some are one email and we never hear from them again, and others are dialogues. Men from all walks of life, men from all different types of socioeconomic backgrounds, different types of undergraduate degrees, looking for service in the church. Now, don't get me wrong, our office always enjoys these conversations. However, almost always a pattern develops. And this pattern isn't unique to this institution. After a few conversations with you as a prospective student, something starts to happen, and the super apostle comes out to show itself. No denying it, somewhere in the application process, your own self-worth and importance will show. It'll show through as you think about becoming a pastor. This is part of the process, and it's a way that Satan tries to weasel himself into the process. So how does this sinful nature manifest itself? First, your own self-worth will manifest itself in confidence in your own abilities and capacity to be an under-shepherd. Great pride will come out in your explanation of your years of being an elder, deacon, or council member. You will talk about how these experiences will give you incredible insights into how the church should be set up and how it should be run when you're a pastor. Of course, who can't forget your extensive work teaching Bible study and heading up the dreaded parish youth group, when nobody else will do the job. Of course, attendance wasn't a problem that year because it was the year of the youth gathering, so everyone wanted to attend. The second manifestation of pride happens to both seminarian, pastor, and layperson. Your own self-worth will manifest itself in how you look at other pastors and church workers. You've heard the conversation. I can't believe that. Did you hear that one? I got an email today. You know the conversation. So why do I bring this all up when we've got this glorious text? Well, left to yourself, it's easy to fall into the trap of the super apostle. Ego and human pride will take over for the work of the church. Paul's purpose in writing this letter is to complete the work of winning back the Corinthians to himself. The breach recently caused by opponents of Paul's who invaded Corinth is to be completely healed. The old, sound relation between the Corinthians and Paul is to be fully reestablished. Those posing as apostles will be exposed because of their words and actions. In today's text, Paul again expands on the way an apostle or his assistant should act. These are lessons that we all should consider. The Corinthians knew only too well that every word of today's text was true in regard to Paul's work, and that in Paul the church sees the mark of a true apostle. No arguments were necessary against the super apostles. The words of Paul are much stronger. Paul draws the Corinthians into his own spirit and complete devotion to the Lord. This text pulls the people and Paul together as only the church could. This is the proof against all enemies of Paul who appear to try to separate the flock. A wonderful phrase in this text, jointly working. It is a wonderful part of this text that shows how the ministry of God given to his church in the word he deposited to the church for her use. Sharing the gospel of God's servants, acting with character and honesty. Paul did so much by patience in affliction, by acting from the gospel. It is the grace of God that will arm you against temptation, so you will bear the cross, not with pride, but as a servant, as an under-shepherd. As a pastor, you have nothing in yourself, but you possess all things in Christ. This is how a servant of the church's life is different from a servant of the world. Here in today's text, we see an authentic apostle. His life demonstrates the paradox of God's strength working in human weakness, of renouncing the world in order to master it. And for Christ's church, the day of salvation is now, always the present moment in the period before Christ's return. As you journey towards the cross this Lenten season, hear the words of our Lord and taste his rich food. Enjoy the feast in the humility of a servant, an under-shepherd in formation, training to serve the true shepherd. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.